Make a webcomic? Want to join a diverse collective of webcomic creators? Delphina here to tell you that Spider Forest is open for applications through June 24th. It's a great group that I've personally been involved with for over a decade now, focused on improving at our craft, doing our best to be positive, supportive peers and human beings, and making cool stuff together. Visit spiderforest.com/apply to get your application in. Thanks, and enjoy the episode.
Just do it!
Don't let your dreams be dreams. Yesterday said tomorrow.
So just do it! Face your dreams! I'm true!
Hello, and welcome to Screen Tones, where we talk anything and everything webcomics. Today, we're going to be talking about some of the alternate formats out there to webcomics, and whether it's right for the type of project you're making, as opposed to making a webcomic. I'm Miranda, my pronouns are she, her, and I make the webcomic Into the Swell.
And I'm Ray, my pronouns are they, them, and I make the webcomics Overlord of Ravenfell and On Empyrean High.
I'm Star, I use she, her pronouns, and I make the comic Cast Off.
And I'm Bob, I use any pronouns, and I make the web comics Into the Smoke and Demon of the Underground.
Okay. Web comics are pretty great in our opinion, but they're not the only way to get a narrative story out into the world. Prose has been an option for forever, but today, with so many new technologies, there are so many more options available to tell your story. You could use anything from video games to podcasts to illustrated novels, but each option has its own pros and cons depending on what sort of project you're building, and today we're going to talk about them. So to kick us off, let's talk about what kinds of non-webcomic projects you have done or considered when you've been building up your idea for webcomics. We'll start off with you, Ray.
Okay, I actually started out as a prose writer and did a lot of accompanying illustrations for my projects. Comics honestly weren't even on my radar until I got into manga because they always seemed to me as something either in the newspaper or about superheroes. So I've written a lot of short stories and short novels, and while I do tend to be a pretty visual person, though, so I'd often include illustrations with them. So honestly, I probably read about as many novels as I do webcomics and comics, so it was kind of like natural for me to start writing prose. I did have a very short stint in trying to do a visual novel, but I have discovered one thing, and I honestly do not like coding, even though I know how to do it.
Same.
Relatable.
What about you, Star?
So I actually have some experience with this because, so Cast Off is my current webcomic project, but during the course of its many year development before I actually started it, making it as a webcomic, I actually did bounce around between a couple of different ideas. So the original version that Cast Off took was a comic. I did like the first chapter as part of a school anthology comic. And then not long after that, I think maybe half a year after that, I was introduced to the idea of NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month, where you try and write a 50,000 word novel in a month. Because a friend of mine does it like every year, or at least they did back then. And so I was like, oh, well, that sounds fun. I want to try that. And I've got this convenient little fantasy story kicking around in my brain right now. Because at the time, I was already working on a different webcomic. And so it's like, I want to do Cast Off. But my God, having two webcomics at the same time is too much. So I actually do have a novelized version of Cast Off floating around in the files on my computer. It's very bad. And the only way that you can find it now is I have some live readings of it that I did for Patreon a few years ago, where, like, you know, like 6-ish years after I wrote it, I went and read parts of it live. And so recordings of that are available, but I never actually posted that prose version anywhere because it's bad. But what I discovered doing that is that Cast Off is a story that relies so heavily on very specific and subtle visuals that I didn't enjoy writing it as prose. One, because I just wasn't as experienced with prose, and I'm still not. I've only just very recently gotten back into trying prose again. There was just like so much where I was writing the novel version of Cast Off and thinking, this is taking too long to explain. I could just draw this. And so at some point I just kind of dumped the prose version. I'm like, nah, I think this has to be something visual. And you know, there's also like visual novel stuff, but that never really appealed to me as an option for Cast Off as a story specifically. And so I just kept bouncing back to web comics, and I'm like, well, guess we're doing web comics now. But for other stories, I have considered other stuff, but I'll circle back to that when we get further into the conversation.
I feel like, at least for me, what brings me to webcomics is a lot of, like, I start thinking of the visuals, and then I, like, with writing it down, you have to write it all. You have to write down when you could just draw what you want people to see and want, like, the visual you want, and it's both easier and harder.
Exactly. But like, yeah. It's a double-edged sword though. Very much a double-edged sword, because on the one hand, if you have like a very specific visual you want to do, you're like, why do I need to describe this? I can just write it. But on the other hand, in a comic, if you want to draw like the armies clashing, draw all that. Whereas in prose, you can just say the armies clashed. So it's a give and take, right?
It has both ways.
It all depends on how many people you want to be drawn.
Yep.
True, true. This is why my comics have small casts and no armies yet. What about you, Bob?
So first of all, I love that we all kind of have the same backstory, similar backstories anyway, because I also, I started as a prose author too. I was doing traditional publishing, you know, at the same time as I was launching my first webcomic, because this was back when you couldn't really make a living from webcomics. And, I've been writing my entire life, and drawing came later to me. So I'm kind of like the reverse of Star. And this doesn't surprise me at all, because I look at Cast Off and it feels so like visual and cinematic. So I'm like, yeah, this needs to be a comic. But for me, like, my brain works very much more like prose, where I feel it's so much easier to describe something than to draw it, because I'm always like, well, what is the character thinking? What are they feeling? What is the mental struggle they're going through? And that's hard to do in visuals for me. I'm just like, well, I can just say it in prose. So that's just like, for me, it almost feels like cheating to just write it down instead of drawing it. So whenever I switch back to prose, I'm like, oh no, I'm cheating, because I'm not actually putting in the effort to like draw it all out. But I don't really do traditional prose publishing anymore, because I just, you know, it's not, I love everything up until the moment it's published, and then everything after it's published is not fun to me in traditional publishing. So I also do Patreon extras mostly. Like I do like full like novels, as like side stories and backstories that are related to my comic projects. And I release them in serialized form. And then when they're finished, I generally release them as like an ebook. Although I've only like gotten to that point with, I think, one of them. The rest of them are kind of epic length. The other thing I have done is I did do a visual novel. I think it was, I want to say like 2022, because I was super burned out on webcomics at that time. It was the pandemic. I was doing my webcomic like almost full time, but then suddenly my freelance clients wanted like a ton of freelance work from me, and I just burned out. And I was like, I'm never going to do comics again. Like I just withdrew from like comic community, and like just was like, but then like I played like the Ace Attorney series for the first time. And it was just like so inspiring. And it was the first time I realized that that format is something that's actually within our reach now technologically. And unlike Ray, I mean, I don't love coding. That would be a full lie, but I don't hate it enough to not do it. So
that's I do prefer evil.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will take prose over coding any day, but I think that, you know, when we'll get to this later probably, but I think there are some coding options and some technology options that are simple enough. You don't need to be an expert at coding, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. It blows my mind that any of you would actually code your own visual novel. I don't like coding that to that level that I would never even consider that for myself. But I'm on the same.
I mean, I don't understand. There's like,
Yeah, there are a lot of programs that will minimize the coding experience for you. There's actually even a console RPG maker that you can get that you can make little RPGs on it and stuff like that. And I think there's a few visual novel engines out there that can really streamline the process for you.
Yeah. I mean, I still probably wouldn't consider it, but nice to know there's options. But yeah, I'm similar in your shoes, Bob, of prose came first for me and art came way later. And so sometimes it is like, I would be so much faster if I was just writing this book instead of trying to make it into a comic. But sadly, that's not where I'm at. I want it as a comic. And so we're stuck with it as a comic.
I am not just the way.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, like that's exactly how I feel. But I also agree with Star like very much that some stories are just made for a particular format. And, you know, once I realized that kind of complicates the decision, though, because then you kind of have to evaluate each story and be like, well, which one does this really fit? And if you love multiple formats, it's like, oh, no, now I have to decide. And that's a whole other difficulty if you have trouble making decisions like I do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Which, I mean, we're kind of branching into that. So let's jump to what are all the kinds of options that you can use for your stories, and how would you compare them to just the process of making a quote unquote standard webcomic? Like, I know we've talked about prose, visual novels. What else is there? Let's go with Ray to start.
All right. I would say, honestly, some stories really do lend themselves better to other formats. Even though prose is faster, webcomics, you can just draw it out. But also you have to consider that first-person prose is really good for stories that happen internally. If too much of your story is taking place in the character's head, maybe prose would be a more interesting experience than a comic because, you know, it would just be the character standing around with a thought bubble above his head. But if you want to juxtapose the difference between what's in their head and what's outside of it is where I think a comic could really shine. I do think light novels are kind of a good in-between because you still get that visual aspect to it. And for games, I think really work good for branching storylines. And then there's animation's just the whole nother beast, to be honest. It's sequential, yeah, but oh my god, the work for it. I do think audio fiction's really interesting considering that it's been catching on, but it also has the whole like old-timey radio feel sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I will say one thing that I think some webcomics could benefit from is turning things into a tabletop RPG, because sometimes I'll look at a fantasy novel or comic and go, oh, the author wants to show all this lore, but it's kind of to the detriment of the plot.
Mm-hmm.
So what are pretty much tabletop RPGs other than an interactive lore experience. So I'm so kind of, and especially if the author has trouble making the actual plot part of it, I think that could be an interesting way to go.
That's
such an interesting thought that I hadn't, you know, it hadn't occurred to me before, the idea of a tabletop RPG.
Just like building out a setting and then releasing it for people to play around in.
Yeah. I know some people who their entire hobby is world building, but the comic is essentially the form that it takes. So it's something that I think some people can consider, especially if the world building is the part that they really enjoy.
Oh, that's
I've definitely read books that felt like that. I think I said this earlier, I've been trying to get back into prose just because I have other stories that I would like to experiment with, but Cast Off is my baby. And also at this point, it is now part of my job. And so I can't take enough time away from it to do two webcomics simultaneously. So I've been farting around with like some short stories, just kind of like loosely based on D&D campaigns that I've done and just these characters I have in my head. But in an effort to, you know, like learn more about prose and kind of like get deeper into the medium, I've been reading a lot more. I've been making more time for it. And I've been working my way through Way of Kings by Brandon Sanderson. And oh my God, it's like, listen, I'm enjoying it, but oh my God.
That's a beastie book to start with.
It is. It was not the one I started with. I had like a couple of light snacks first. And then my friends were like, hey, if you really want something like epic fantasy, you could try Way of Kings. And I'm like, I'm already at Barnes & Noble.
Never get book suggestions while you're in a bookstore.
Yeah, I'm just like, this thing is a brick. It is going to take me 6 months to read. But I mean, the interesting thing that I found while reading that one is I think another way that prose might be better. We talked about like internal versus external stuff with like character dialogue and stuff and how webcomics may or may not make that easier or more difficult. Another thing that I found reading that book, reading Way of Kings, is that it is a very complicated like world setup, but it's so easy to just, for him to just drop in like little puzzle pieces. It's like, oh yeah, it's like, you know, a character will be kind of like narrating to themselves and it'll just casually drop in, oh, and then this is a thing about how the world works. And I'm just thinking, like, in web comics, in comics in general, it would be so much harder to just casually drop in these little sprinkles of world building. And I feel like that's something that prose lends to a little easier because it's a little bit more internally focused. Yeah. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense, because like if I feel like most lore dumps or lore hints are always written in webcomics, and so then it kind of throws you off of the comic because it's just a page of the lore dump, and that's something that is frowned upon.
Lore dumps, my enemy. If you put like a 6-page long lore dump in your webcomic, I'm going to get you, especially if it's the first thing I have to read.
Honestly, I gotta disagree a little bit, but it also depends on the kind of world building you're trying to do. Like, if you want to go, oh, this like tall gothic architecture, you can draw that rather than, you know, tell people that. So you can do it visually. It's just a different kind of world building.
Oh, sure.
That you're extrapolating on than actually speaking it.
Yeah, but I find that for me, because I'm also like a very heavy world builder, and I think that's probably why I'm so drawn to prose, because what I found with webcomics is that if you want to go on like a little tangent or, you know, explain a little thing, suddenly that's an extra month.
Oh my gosh,
on your schedule. So I like literally, because I, you know, I had this side character who's like a fan favorite character. I was, you know, I obsessed with him. I wanted to like learn more about him, tell more about him. And I'm like, he is going to take over the entire webcomic, but I could write this as a side story. And then I won't be tempted to derail myself in the main story And I feel like that's one of the big benefits with any sort of side format, whether it's prose or anything like that. If it's less labor intensive than comics and it's not going to add extra months or years to your schedule just to, you know, derail yourself a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, side stories can be really good. I actually did do a lot of prose side stories for my first web comic for largely the same reasons, because everyone wanted to know about the quirky little vampire character that was the fan favorite. And I'm like, I don't have time for that. I'm going to write prose.
Yeah, I also found, like, I'm newer to prose. I have arguably way less experience than most folks in here. But I do also find that in prose, it's easier to just, you know, go off just on a little tangent between, like, lines of dialogue or something. And, like, you know, it just takes, like, a paragraph and you can get a little information across to the reader. And it's not going to take a month's worth of comic pages to get that across, right? You just sprinkle in, like, little tidbits, little fun things for the reader.
Even just, like, footnotes. I mean, if footnotes are done right in a novel, I love them. Like, because you can get that extra world building. Or you can just skip over it and keep reading and not be derailed by this little dump of stuff. And I mean, you could probably pull that off in webcomics, but not as seamlessly.
Keikaku means plan.
Yeah, there's one specific, like, bit in Way of Kings that I'm thinking about specifically where he's talking about, like, the cultural significance of, like, the sleeves on these garments that some of the characters wear. And I'm like, yeah, in a webcomic, you could just, you know, show these characters having these sleeves. But, like, everyone in the world already knows why the sleeves are there. And so in order to explain why the sleeves are like that, you'd have to have a character either think to themselves and do it with thought bubbles, or just, like, try to shoehorn in a conversation between two characters who already know why people are wearing sleeves like that to get that information across to the audience. But in prose, it's just like, oh, and she wore her sleeve like this because of this reason. And it's just so much easier. And I'm like, you can just do that? Oh my God.
Yeah, that kind of, you know, makes me think about light novels, because one of the things that I always struggled with, like, I was always fascinated with light novels and illustrated novels, but I never really mastered actually doing it, because I am such a descriptive writer where, you know, when I write a paragraph and I put in, like, all the symbolism and I put in all the metaphor, I'm like, okay, this is done. It doesn't need anything else. But the light novel format is interesting because, you know, it's not dense in the way that I write. So it leaves more room and leaves more air to be filled in with imagery and with like illustration. Like, I always feel like for the type of writing I do, that illustration would just be so extra. But I really like it when, I know a lot of people who do illustrated novels really effectively. And one of the great things about it is when they're able to use the illustrations to say something that the prose doesn't already say. And that's something that I really want to, like, figure out how to do better.
Yeah, I think Scott McCloud actually calls it, like, supportive text versus illustration. You have the text either, like, fill in the blanks of the illustration, or you have it, like, reiterate as a sort of emphasis, which is actually a comic technique. So I think with a lot of on illustrated novels, there should be, like, some aspect of considering when to have an illustration. And that's actually pretty similar in comics. It's like, what do you explain versus what do you show?
Mm-hmm. Show versus tell and all that.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting because I feel like I've never, and maybe I have and I'm just not thinking of it, but I haven't, like, read a novel where the illustrations did that. Like, the illustrations always were illustrating something that was written, not adding more to it, just, like, adding more that was unwritten. So it's an interesting thought to do a book or a novel that way. Where both parts are just as important to the storytelling.
Yeah, I actually kind of experimented with that for my college thesis. I was doing a sort of comic slash novel hybrid, because this was back when I was much more of a prose novelist, when comics were even harder for me. And I was like, well, I just want to be able to write a really wordy comic, please. And, you know, now I kind of realized, you know, the audiences are different for, you know, things that are very text heavy, and I can live with that now. But my end result for that project was it kind of looked a little textbook like, so it wasn't the ideal way to get it across. And that's why I'm still, you know, I feel like vertical scroll comics really open a door where you could experiment with that sort of thing, because you have the opportunity to break up text more, or to use CSS or other like kind of programming techniques to you know, do light animations, or to display text in more of in like with a different sort of pacing. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of want to experiment with that someday. My first webcomic is traditional page format. My second is vertical scroll, but I feel like there's so much room to just try different things with it, mm-hmm. With scroll formats.
Yeah, the scroll format really seems to open up a lot of storytelling options, and it definitely has its uses, even if you're like planning to print, so you're opting for page format. Scroll is definitely a fun way to read as well, and almost a different reading experience, even if you're reading the same story in page format versus scroll.
Yeah, the way that you can pace things and do reveals, the way, you know, just the order in which a reader processes the images, it's so different. So you just have a lot more room to play around with, you know, how that information is presented and how you want to do big moments, big reveals. It's really fun, but I just, you know, I'm pretty new to it, so I'm still kind of learning and have a lot more experimenting to do.
We all just need more time to experiment and do all of these things, and yes, all please. Of the formats. So if anyone can just invent a time machine or something to like freeze time for a little bit when you just need that extra hour or two, that'd be great. Let us know. We'll sponsor you in a completely free and unpaid sort of way.
We'll get pom-poms and just go, yeah!
Yes, we'll support you and cheer you on. And use it also.
Moral support.
I want to take it back to the tabletop RPG aspect, because I had a thought come up on that, but I feel like a lot of comic planning and story planning in general is like figuring out the main points, and then you have to figure out how to get your characters from point A to point B, and that traversing of the points is sometimes the hardest thing to write and come up with. And if you do a tabletop RPG, you don't have to do that. You just have to provide point A and point B, and it's up to the players and the characters that they make to decide how they're getting there. So that definitely could be a benefit if you're really stuck on how to connect all of your dots. You can just, like, maybe a tabletop RPG is the way to go for you.
And the thing is it doesn't even need to be a tabletop RPG. You could just role play with friends, especially if you want that interactive experience. You could also turn and role play into a comic, because, you know, that actually appears to be pretty common. I've done it. Most mm-hmm. of my comics are actually from RPs. There is also that sort of randomness that comes from rolling the die that can help influence the decisions and where to go in a project as well. But you can also implement that into comics if you want. I know the Death Note creators would flip a coin to see whether Light would succeed or fail at certain pivotal points.
Oh, that seems amazing. So fitting for that story. And that kind of brings us to what is y'all's advice for someone with a story, but they can't decide what form they want to get this story out into the world as? What would you have them think about? What advice would you give them? And we'll bring it back to Ray to start this one off.
foremost, I would probably say that you should ask yourself, what audience experience do you want your readers to have? And that is pretty much as vast as there are mediums for storytelling right now. So it's definitely a valid question, and each one has a different sort of vibe to it, as well as benefits and cons. And another thing is, you have to decide, would you actually enjoy making something in this format in a sustainable manner? Like, I know a lot of former comic artists that switched to prose because they had arthritis issues or some other issue that made it to where they could not do comics anymore. And I know a lot of animators that switched to comics for much the same reason. So it really depends on both your enjoyment factor and your physical limitations.
Yeah, because I mean, I think that the work to output ratio is something that's important for when you're deciding what kind of medium you want to use for your storytelling. Because with something like an animation, you're putting so much work and doing so many drawings for arguably the smallest amount of output. Because, you know, it'll take you hours and hours to draw one, like, 4-second scene, and then you got to do the rest of all of it. Whereas webcomics are kind of like this happy little medium where, yeah, you're drawing a lot, but you're also, you know, like, churning out a decent amount of story much faster than an animation would. And then you have something like prose, where I found that prose can honestly be the fastest because you're just typing and you don't have to worry about the technical, like, art drawing side of it. Yeah, prose has got to go fast. I had this epiphany recently because I was writing a short story and I'm like, what do you mean I can just sit and write a couple thousand words over the course of like a week and have like a fully finished chapter of a story done in like 3 days? That takes me like a year in comic time. What the hell?
Why do we do this to ourselves?
Because art.
Yeah.
And the need to be vulnerable and present the stories that we have in our little heads for an audience. But yeah, and I mean, there's also the ones we didn't go as into, which is like visual novels, where it's like, you know, you draw a lot of sprites and those can be faster to draw than like full comic pages. And they're definitely faster to draw than like animations. But there's also limitations within that medium. You got to code. You got to worry about music, which is like one of the reasons that I've kind of avoided visual novels, is I don't know anything about composing music and I don't know anyone who could do that for me. And also I'm scared of coding. Even if there's ways to make it easier, I'm just like, eh. And yeah, it also does very much depend on like the type of audience you are trying to court with this story, because someone who's interested in a webcomic might not be interested in a visual novel. Someone who reads primarily prose might not be as interested in watching your animation. It just kind of depends on like the communities you want to be involved in and how, like, what kind of experience you want marketing, because marketing is another thing entirely. One of the hardest things with prose, if you're just doing prose with no illustrations, you are very limited on the amount of visuals that you have, especially if you don't also draw. Because, you know, when people are scrolling social media and they're looking for something new to check out, what are they more likely to click on? A story with pictures that draws them in, or something that's just words? Just words is way harder to promote. Can my cat please stop ripping up boxes right behind me? Milo. Milo, please. I am recording a podcast and you're a nightmare child. Go away. Sorry. I'm in
cat
the middle of packing and my cat was
at
like
30.
She's ripping packages. She's like ripping the packing tape off of some boxes. And I'm like, that's probably picking up on the mic because I'm also talking right now. God.
But yeah, Star, you bring up an interesting point, though, because that's one of the things that I struggled with probably the most when I was doing both prose and visual novels. One of the things I feel is that comics has
the lowest barrier to entry for the reader. I mean, it's a very high barrier to entry for us because we do so much work for it, but you literally just have to put an image up and immediately whoever is seeing it is processing what you've made, and they don't even have to want to. They have no choice. It's in front of their face. They're already processing your work. But for every other format, for prose, you have to convince someone to read it. You know, for a video, you have to convince someone to press play. For a visual novel, you have to convince someone to download it. And their specs have to, you know, be compatible with what you made. And, you know, that's like another thing with visual novels is it can go obsolete because technology changes this, whatever platform you use to build it, if it stops being maintained, then maybe a few years in the future, no one's going to be able to play your game anymore. Though I do want to say just a couple quick tips. If people are interested in visual novels, RenPy, it's R-E-N apostrophe P-Y, is great for just, you know, very low, low coding, just everything's like built in. You still have to code a little bit, but it's based on Python. It's very relatively user-friendly. And Audacity is a great free audio editing program. There are a lot of people also in the visual novel community, sound designers and a lot of musicians who are happy to collaborate. And so there are a lot of opportunities there. That one of the things about visual novels, and this is another thing to consider, is that some formats are great for single creators and some formats lend themselves more to teams. And there are a lot of solo developers for visual novels, but a lot of them are made by teams, and that's because they require such a vast skill set. There are, you know, a lot of them will have their own musicians, their own sound designers, even their own writers and separate artists, sometimes even separate sprite artists and separate background artists. And also, as Star mentioned, the audience doesn't always carry over from one format to another. So if you are just going into this because you want to explore, because you want to be creative, there's no downside to trying anything. But if your goal is to either engage with your current audience or reach new people, you really do have to enter into these separate communities and understand why the people who use these formats enjoy it, why the readers enjoy it, why the creators enjoy it. And it's just an entire kind of different world. And how much time do you have to be in multiple different worlds? That's always what it comes down to for me, is, you know, how much can I divide up my time? Because if I wasn't concerned about time, I would be dabbling in everything. I love trying new formats. But yeah, it's just some things to think about.
That is very interesting that you said you have to understand why people enjoy the mediums that they're doing, because it's true. I've seen a lot of would-be comic writers get into comics solely as a stepping stone for animation.
Blech.
But they don't actually understand why people like comics. They just view it as a cheaper alternative to animation. And you can usually tell.
Mm-hmm.
So
that is so true. Yeah.
So it's the same for other mediums. You can tell when the passion for the medium isn't there, which is why I emphasize you should do something where you actually enjoy the process.
Definitely. And especially with all of these, and just time being such a limited resource that it is, if you're not enjoying what you're spending your time on, find something else. Try something else and do, like, benefit yourself and make it something you enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, with me, it's like, you know, I had this idea for a project I've been working on that, like I said, is kind of loosely based on some of the D&D characters that I've come up with. And I'm like, ooh, you know what might be fun is making that like a visual novel with alternate routes, and then each one kind of focuses on a different character. That could be cool as a visual novel. But one of the things that made me shy away from that, aside from, you know, not ever doing that sort of thing before and having to learn this whole new medium, that's an entirely different vault on its own. But the other fact of the matter is that I don't know much about visual novels. I've only played a handful in my entire life. And so I feel like I need to learn more about the medium before trying to jump in and do that for myself. And that's why, like I said, I've been reading more because I want to get more into prose writing. And so I've been picking up more books and I've been reading more prose and I've been figuring out like what I like versus what like the author's priorities are and just learning more about the medium. And I think that before you take a step into a new medium, I think that learning what is possible with that medium, learning what other people have done with it is a very good first step.
That is so true, and also a really important point that whatever you want to make, ideally you enjoy consuming it too. I hate to use the word consume, but like you just, like it has to be something where, you know, you're not going into it because you disrespect it and you want to change it. There has to be something about it that you love and that draws you into it. And the more you're reading it, the more you're watching or playing or whatever, the more you'll, you know, internalize that and understand.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So one of the other things that I was curious about and looking into back when audiobooks and podcasts started getting really big was, is there an opportunity to translate some of this storytelling into an audio format? I looked into it. I admit I didn't delve very deep because I only have my one voice and I'm not an actor, and voice actors are pretty expensive, and audio design in general for someone who isn't themselves an audio designer is also, it's daunting and expensive, and it felt a little bit out of my realm. But, there are a lot of people who are making, you know, fiction drama podcasts or just translating their prose into audiobooks. The key is that not all prose translates well into audio because, you know, it's written for the eyes. So you kind of, if you know you're going to make your prose into audio, you kind of have to write it a little bit differently so that someone who's just listening to it can understand. And I'm wondering if anyone else has, you know, had more experience with that than I have.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done like write a thing as a prose novel and then turn it into an audiobook, but I have my YouTube channel. It's something that I've considered playing with. Some of the short stories I've written, I've considered turning into video format by doing like being my own audiobook narrator, essentially, and adding like some music and sound effects and things. Cause I've done stuff similar to that in the past. I wrote like a horror short story a couple of years ago, and I went and like I added music and some sound effects and stuff, and I had a bunch of fun with it. That video is not super popular because it came out really early on in my channel's life, and so most people probably don't even know it exists. But I've been thinking about doing some more stuff along those lines just because I think, for some people that enjoy listening to stories more than like actually reading them, that might be a way to get them into some of like these little short stories I'm writing, is just narrate them myself. But like you said, you do kind of have to write them in a specific way so that they make sense for audiobooks. Because I have heard that there's like a problem with audiobooks that you can tell it was not written for audiobooks in the way it was formatted. And so then the audiobook quality kind of suffers. But on the topic of audio mixing and doing all that sort of stuff, a big project that I have that I've been working on for over a year at this point is I'm taking the first arc from one of my D&D campaigns, and I'm basically turning it into, it's not a full audiobook, but it's like an audio summary of the events of the campaign. And then I'm adding music, I'm adding sound effects. I got some of my other players and some friends to do voice acting for it. Most of it's not voice acted. There's just like a couple of little snippets where it's like, it's easier for me to do this if I just have the characters actually say what their lines of dialogue were in the moment. And then I'm also adding like some visuals to it because I'm drawing and I'm kind of like loosely storyboarding it. And so it's kind of like taking an illustrated novel, but then also merging that audio drama portion into it. And at the time that this is going to be posted, it's not done yet. Because like I said, it's going to be over an hour and a half long. It has taken me over a year on and off to work on it, but someday I'll have a finished product to show for it. It's coming. I promise. I swear. It's just, again, it takes a long time. But if that's something that you think you have an interest in, if you like the idea of, you know, like finding some copyright free music, which is what I've been doing, and like kind of messing with the audio, I personally find it kind of therapeutic and fun to do the soundscaping for like certain scenes, especially really ominous stuff. I do think there's potential. I don't think it's for everybody, but if you think that that might be a product you would have fun with, maybe experiment with it. Try a little something. Could be fun.
And that's just the moral of this episode. If we have morals, I can't think of a different word for that. But just there's so many options, and you can try them all. You can find what works for you. You just have to try and experiment. And if we all had more time, we would probably be doing a lot of these at the same time. But sadly, time is a resource, and you have to use it efficiently for what you want to do most. Most of the time. Sometime you might be capable,
but experimentation
of doing multiple
is fun.
Things. Yeah. But experiment, try different things. You don't even have to finish the thing that you try. You can start it and let it go when you're done with it. But find what you enjoy most and find what form fits your story and make it happen. Maybe webcomics aren't your thing. If they aren't, then we're glad you're still listening to this podcast. but like, don't feel locked into a medium. There's so much more out there that you can try that might work better for your story, and you just haven't found it yet. So experiment, keep trying, make mistakes, be messy. I'm thinking of Miss Frizzle from the Magic School Bus. I can't remember her phrase, but if you know, you know. And with that, I think that is a Caesar salad wrap, fitting because today is the Ides of March when we're recording, not when we're releasing. I've been your host, Miranda, and you can check out my work at mirandacakes.art.
And I've been Ray. You can find my works at empyreoncomic.com and Overlord of Ravenfell is on Webtoon.
I've been Star the whole time, and you can read my comics on castoff-comic.com.
And I'm Bob, and you can find my works at intothesmokecomic.com and demonoftheunderground.com.
We made it. I made it. You guys were fine the whole time. I made it. Gotta love internet issues. I was a little worried.
Thank you for listening to Screen Tones, a webcomic podcast. You can find all our episodes at screentonescast.com. We've got a couple links over there to our Ko-fi and merch shop, where your support will help us create more episodes and keep us talking about anything and everything webcomics. You can also find us on YouTube, Blue Sky, Tumblr, and our Discord server. Thank you so much for listening, sharing, rating, and supporting, and we'll see you next time.